Please rise. Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. They listen to me. And because we hear his voice, we trust him and we follow him. The word of God for our consideration on this, the Last Judgment Sunday, are the verses in John's Gospel. Now, we did read that earlier, but let me direct you to verse 24. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So far our text, and we pray. Dearest Jesus, you have opened our ears. You have changed our hearts. And you have empowered us to know your voice. May we always listen and follow you all the days of our lives. In your name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do greet you all this morning in the name of Christ Jesus, the one whose voice we hear through his word. It is he who is our Savior. It is he who is the solid rock on which we stand. He is our firm foundation, and he is our shield. He is our great reward. He is our Savior, our God, and our King. I greet you then as fellow sinners, redeemed by the blood of Christ. How might you complete this sentence? Call me anything but late for dinner. Call me anything but late for dinner or supper. It depends on where you're from in the country and what time of day that it may be when you serve that meal. In days long before cell phones, there was a time when there weren't restaurants on every corner. There was a time where pizza places may have been few and far between. There was a time where people actually prepared meals at home. I'm serious. There was a time when people would gather for the evening meal. Families would gather for this special meal of unity. And it didn't matter what they were doing or where they were at. There was always a general set time on which people would gather together and have this meal. And no one, children and adults alike, no one wanted to miss the meal. In these days, perhaps gone by in many cases, the mother would be home. She would be cooking and baking and preparing. Dad might be out in the shop or in the lawn or in the garden or doing some events that he would have planned at the close of his workday. And the children, well, they would be playing. They would not be playing video games. They would actually be outside where the sun and the air is. They would be playing tag or playing on swings or just having a good time with balls and bats, running around and doing things that kids do. Now, generally speaking, children and adults, although they were busy doing whatever it was that activity was going on, their ear would be attentive to a voice. It would oftentimes be the voice of their mother. I would call out to them, said, all things are ready, come on. You would hear different voices around the community, but you knew your mother's voice or your father's voice. You'd heard it many times. and you were attentive to it, and you were listening to it, and you recognized it. And so now, the call would come, children and adults would gather together and enjoy this meal. Today, how in tune are we to the voice of others? It seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we, because of the invention of the electronic leash, the cell phone, we might not necessarily be listening to the voice. Oh, maybe we have a special ringtone, which we can ignore. Or we'll get a text or an email or an Instagram or a tweet or something, and we will look at it and decide whether we're hungry or not. You see, today we're so busy with our own lives, and maybe we're not all that physically hungry. We may not even be all that spiritually hungry anymore. You see, our stomachs are filled constantly. We can go home and snack on all the stuff we want. We can raid the refrigerator and freezer and pop stuff into the microwave. And we can eat anything, anywhere, anytime. We have restaurants on every corner or a quick pizza slice here and there. We don't need to listen to the voice of mom anymore after she would been cooking because she's not doing it anymore. And apparently we don't need it. On days gone by, people would be attentive to the voice of their parents or older siblings calling them to this special meal. And there we would be united. But perhaps some of these things are a thing of the past. Oh, occasionally we'll get together for a Sunday lunch or a special evening gathering. But it's sad that special time together as a family seems to have gone by the wayside. We're all just too busy anymore. Well, today the Lord calls us, and through the voice of God, He wants you to listen. He wants you to be attentive to His word. He wants you to know that He gives life to those who were dead. And now He calls you to listen and to come, to follow Him, because one day and one day soon, He will call us all to that heavenly banquet. The Lord wants us to be attentive. But in this world, we've got to admit there are just way too many distractions. I mean, after all, we have friends and neighbors and parents and teachers that always want to get inside our ear. And you can't ignore the hundreds of television stations that you have to choose from and the many radio stations that you might flip between. And of course, you've got all sorts of stuff played on your phones that you can listen to constantly. Maybe you have CDs that you've downloaded or things from the internet. Maybe there are DVDs you have on your phones and portable devices that are constantly taking your attention from everything else. Then there are certain other voices that I'm not familiar with, but I hear about them. Someone called Alexa. Maybe there's someone called Siri. And there's that annoying voice that seems to be with many of those video games that are telling you what's going on. Reload now or turn left. There are voices that are everywhere. And some may ask, well, how can I listen to the voice of the Lord with all these distractions that are going out? How can I decipher one voice from another in this echoing chamber of voices and activities? So I'd have to ask you this. In a crowd of people, if your mother stood up and called your name, while everybody else was making noise, are you able to recognize her voice? Probably. If your father stands up in a similar crowd with activity and things going on while you're busy playing your games or watching TV, can you distinguish clearly his voice? I say yes. Now, there are voices that we hear, but some that we seem to be more attentive to. So I would ask, why is it that you, in a crowded room, can distinguish your parents', brothers', loved ones', spouses' voices from someone else's? And we might answer that question by saying, oh, this is the voice that I have heard many times. This is the voice of the one who has encouraged me. This is the voice of the one who has wiped my tears. This is the voice of the one who has comforted me and guided me. And this is the voice of the one, yes, who has disciplined me when I have gone astray. This is the voice of the one who loves me, no matter what. So how can we then apply that thinking to how can I listen, how can I hear, how can I be attentive and distinguish the voice of the Lord? Perhaps it's not as obvious as it should be, but we can distinguish that voice if we listen to it. If it becomes one of the most important voices that are in this echo chamber of voices. How can I hear the voice of God when I've never heard it before? Well, that would be a horrible thing for you to say, wouldn't it? But I think I get what you're saying. We have never heard the physical voice of Jesus, but yet he speaks to us through his word. We have never seen the physical body of the Lord either, but yet we see him with the eyes of faith. Some 2,100 years ago, there were people who actually heard the voice of Jesus and actually saw him. Many listened to him and they believed him and they followed him and they trusted in him. And when they heard him, they came running to hear more. But there was another portion of the crowd that heard the voice and they despised it. The Pharisees, for example, they didn't like what Jesus was saying about them. He, in fact, told them that others were going to get into heaven before them. They were so concerned about being seen for who they were, for what position they had. The Pharisees would reject the voice of God. They would reject the voice of Jesus. He was comparing himself to God, saying that he and the Father are one, and that infuriated them to the point, well, they wanted him dead. And they were tired of the voice of God. You see, the Pharisees were angry, and they had devised a plan that they would eliminate this sore spot through their ears. So they closed their ears to Jesus and his word and sought now to kill him. So I look at people today. Have people closed their ears to the voice of God? Have they closed their mind and their hearts to his holy word? And I say, yeah, in some cases many have. And in fact, some cases we have as well. Take, for example, the Lord condemns certain things. Lust, premarital relationships, sexual relationships of sorts, homosexual relationships, extramarital sexual relationships. He condemns all those, and yet people close their ears and they disagree with him, saying it's okay. Everyone else is doing it. It's their choice. How about when God condemns abuse? Abuse of time, talent, treasure, abuse of drugs, alcohol, food, gluttony. when he condemns those things, we tend to drown it out saying, no, 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 you've got it all wrong. I'm a good Christian. I show up on Sundays. See, even we are in that same category. How about when Jesus condemns things in us, calling us a liar or a thief, a murderer or a gossip? And we then justify our actions saying, well, if he or she wouldn't do that, I wouldn't have to say this. Or I'm just trying to get people to agree with me. You see, we've got this little Pharisee that lives inside of us. And the little Pharisee wants to turn off the voice of God, wants to close our ears to the truth, wants us to ignore his word. And yet our God is still motivated by his love for all of us, that he continues to come to us with the gospel message. And in the words today in verse 24, he says, I tell you the truth. Amen. Amen, he says. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and he will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. You see, the Lord in his word has implanted faith in you, a faith that believes and trusts, a faith that clings to the promises of Jesus, the promise that said, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is my Savior, my God, and my King. He is that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I know this by faith. I confess it by faith. I know that he has taken away my sins, and he's taken yours as well. We have come to believe that the Word of God is truth. And he has made us holy by that truth. We believe that Jesus, by his perfect life and his innocent death and his glorious resurrection, has taken away my guilt and has set me free. He has loosened the grip that Satan had on me, and now I am his. I truly am free, and so are you. Not because of the things that we have done, but everything that he has done for us. And he gives to us his holy word. He calls to us with his voice, saying, follow me, trust in me, believe in me. And the sheep that we are, we hear his voice and we follow him. We follow him to a home that has been prepared for us. Even as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, we have no fear, for our shepherd is with us, guiding us and comforting us and directing us on the paths of righteousness. We believe that Jesus is the living Word of God, the Savior of our souls. And in him, there is no condemnation. And we have truly crossed over from death to life. Now, fellow believers, even if the Lord were to close your eyes in death before he comes again in glory, we have no fear. We are not looking forward to the dying process, but we look forward to the place that has been prepared for us. We trust that God, when he says, I am the resurrection, I am the truth, and I am the life. We believe when he speaks these words, whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. If our eyes are closed in death before he comes in glory, we have no fear. We'll never be separated from him. Our hearts testify that we belong to him, and our ears are attentive to his voice. And when he calls us out of this veil of tears, we know that we will be with him. And we trust him, and we follow him. Death for the believer, this side of heaven, we know it's simply a porthole that takes us from this sin-infected place to the holy place of God. What a comfort it is to know, as we face the challenges in our days and as we face sickness and death, that the Lord has a plan And he will bring us through all things. And if our plan results in our death, we win because we forever will be with the Lord. I say, fellow believers, let us be attentive to the voice of our God. Let us be aware that he is calling us to serve. Let us be in tune to that living word as we eagerly wait for him to call and take us to the heavenly banquet. One day he will call us home. One day he will come again in glory. And when he does, we all will gather together and forever be with the Lord and rejoicing at this great heavenly banquet that he has prepared for us. There we will rejoice forever. Amen.
Amen.
We rise. Empowered by the word of God and his Spirit, may we continue to listen and know his word, his will, and listen to his voice. May he be with us always. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our Christian faith. We'll be using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find that printed for you on page 41 in the front of your hymnal. Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.